Hallelujah. We live unto you, all for this Lord's Day, August 27, 2023, a great service to God the Father. Let's pray together. Father, we first thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to come before you and worship you on this Holy Lord's Day. Since you have established the Love First Church in Boston and commissioned us to spread the word of the Redeemer to the ends of the earth, please let us examine our own heart and face to see if we have been loyal to your will with one accord and with all our might. Let our face first be alive and overflowing with joy and gratitude. Let the words we have received be made alive and active. And let us, by unceasing prayer, day by day, receive the divine wisdom, understanding, and intelligence of the Father, that we may realize what is most pleasing to the Father in our respective places, and that we may live for the glory of the Father. Since you have granted us your precious words today, let not one word fall to the ground, but let it be engraved in our heart, that it may bear fruit that we may offer to you. May each also come before our Father with a prayer request, hoping and wishing that all our prayers would become prayers aligned with the Father's will, so that everyone may receive answers and experience the precious work of receiving answers. Even though we cannot gather in church, when we meet again in church to worship you, may each of us bear the fruit of evangelism and offer it to you as a precious work. We ask this is everything we say and do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, scripture reading is the Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3. I like to read. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. And by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is God's word. Hallelujah. Today's title is The Hidden Spiritual Redemption of the Number 7. The Hidden Spiritual Redemption of the Number 7. In the beginning, God created all things and rested on the seventh day. God made the week 7 days long. Few of us have ever wondered why there are 7 days in a week. Today, I wanted to share with you the significance of the number 7 in our text. Amen. God is the mastermind behind all of history, both our human history and our redemptive history. Fallen humans cannot know God's time in redemptive history through human time, yet God enters into our time and chronology to unfold his redemptive work. The Bible expresses the exact time of the Lord's return in years, months, days, and hours. Jesus Christ himself talked to us in the Matthew 24, verse 36 and 50. Matthew 24, verse 36 and 50. I like to read. But over that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. And verse 50, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know. He mentioned about day and hour. And also in the Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, beyond the allot that for you do not know day nor the hours. Amen. We have this concept of time because God gave to us. On the first day of creation, He created the sun, moon, and stars, and on this earth, we have months, seasons, days, and years to distinguish between them. According to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of heavens to separate the day from the night, day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for the day and days and years." The reason God created these things was to give humans a measure of God's timing through them. The change of the moon, which is longer than the change of the sun, was given as a measure of the feast. And the sun, which is shorter, was given as a measure of the day and night. And according to the Psalm 104, verse 19, He made the moon for the season, the sun knows the place of its setting. But the ultimate purpose was to provide a standard of observing God's feast at the God's appointed time. According to the Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4, "These are the appointed time of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them." Today, the entire world is on the same calendar, despite difference in the race, climate, culture, religion, ideology, etc. God gave us this day, years, and days to observe the feast He gave us. But we humans have created a calendar to make an effective use of time without regard to God's will, and to make it convenient for our own practical lives. In fact, the calendar we use today was created by some of the best astronomers and historians over a long period of time through countless calculations and trial and error, but it is not accurate. A famous calendar from ancient time is a Julian calendar. It was used for the 1500 years, but because of the difference of the 11 days, it could not be used anymore. After that, there was the Gregorian calendar, which was proclaimed by the Pope Gregory in 1582. It's based on the scientific observation of the sun's movement, and it has been used until now. But it has a difference of one day every 3,323 years. However, God's calendar, which He gave us to observe the years and days of the year, is not off by a single second, because the rotation of the earth, which determines the length of day and the speed at which the moon revolves around the earth and the earth revolves around the sun, do not change. Most of all, because God made a covenant with the sun and moon. God made a covenant with the sun and moon. According to the Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 20, I like to read that, "Thus said the Lord, if you can break my covenant for the day and my covenant for the night, so that day and night will not be at their appointed time." The covenant is Hebrew is buried, which means just as God's covenant word is unchanging, so the sun and moon are still operating exactly as they were created to fulfill their purpose. So, and also God's calendar is based on 7-day cycle. It begins on day first and ends on the day seventh, which is the Sabbath. Let's look at the Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And it is one day from the setting of the sun until the setting of the sun the next. You can find out Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. And when the Sabbath passes, a new seven-day week begins again from day one, which means that seventh day, the Sabbath, is the centerpiece. There are no original days of the week in God's calendar. They were named by man after five planets instead of the day one, day two, and so on. The first recorded use of the days of the week was in the Petrus Balance, the Ancel Logarium, Logarum, AD 170. The same goes for the sabbatical years, seven sabbatical years of 7 years each, totaling 49 years. Let's look at the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. You are also to count off seven sabbaths of years for yourself. Seven times 7 years, so that you have the time of the seven Sabbath of years, 49 years. In other words, in a redemptive sense, we must realize that God's calendar has its ultimate purpose, or purpose in a godly life of remembering and giving thanks for God's creation all things, and his redemptive work for the salvation of mankind, especially on the Sabbath. After descendants of Jacob went down to Egypt for 400 years of slavery, they forgot their identity and God. As we know, when God called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Moses did not know the God of Israel. God first reveals himself to Moses. According to the Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. God first identifies himself as the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of Egypt. He then tells the Israelites of his plan to lead them into the land of Canaan. Moses then asks for God's name to tell the Israelites. God teaches them his name. In the Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, the God furthermore said to the Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. That is Jehovah. God teaches us that he is the God of Israel's ancestor, and that his name is Jehovah, a name that will be remembered forever. The most important question here is, why is God calling the Israelites out of Egypt? Of course, there is the oppression and the suffering of the Israelites in Egypt, and the fact that the God heard the Israelites crying out in the distress and had a compassion on them and wanted to set them free. You can see the Exodus chapter 3, 7, and verse 9. There is also fulfillment of the Torah covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 16, God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendant will be stranger in a land, that is a slave in the Egypt, that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. And 16, then in the fourth generation, they shall return here. But above all, there was the one thing that God wanted to receive from the Israelites from he had free, and that was worship. That was worship. According to the Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, And he says, certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. You shall worship God at this mountain. Moses goes right up to Egypt king and state his purpose to lead the Israelite out of the wilderness. In Genesis, in Exodus chapter 3 verse 18, and they will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrew, has met with us, so now please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. The sacrifice, that is Hebrew, is javach. That meaning is worship. Worship. And Exodus chapter 5, and 5, chapter 5, verse 1 and 3. And afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to the Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. To celebrate the feast, that is a Hebrew Haggag, that meaning is also worship. And verse 3, then they said, the God of Hebrew has met with us. Please let us give a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Just what the offering, that is we need what the sacrifice, that we may sacrifice to the Lord, that meaning is worship to God. After inflicting calamities upon Pharaoh, who was reluctant to release the Israelite, Moses continued to insist that he should let the Israelite people go so that they could offer sacrifice to our God in Israel. In the Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 and 20, and Exodus chapter 9, verse 1, and Exodus chapter 10, verse 3, they may serve me. They're going to be serving. That is abad, that is worship. Finally, after killing all the firstborn in Egypt, they ate the Passover meal and began their departure from Egypt. From the Ramse, they passed through Sukkot and Edom and arrived at Migdol. At dawn, they crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness of Sur and arrived at Mara after 3 days. You have to remember that. The place is Mara. After we crossed the Red Sea, and after 3 days' walk, they arrived Mara. Finally, after 3 days in the wilderness, what should the Israelites do? Of course, they should worship God with the sacrifice and offering. However, after walking 3 days in the wilderness, the Israelites ran out of the water they had brought with them, and they were thirsty and resented Moses. According to the Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to 24, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Mara, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Mara. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? In response, God transformed the bitter waters of Mara into drinkable water. Moreover, he provided them with law and regulation to establish the worshipper's mindset for the purpose of offering worship to him. In the Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, then he cried out of the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them statute and regulation, and there he tests them. Don't forget about what happened in the Mara. Not only to give the water become sweet, the most important thing is he made for them statute and regulation. During the 400 years of the slavery in Egypt, the Israelites had forgotten the Lord there and had none not to worship him. What are the statue and the audience given to them? Statue is a Hebrew, is a hook, that the law or commandment that regulate the relationship between God and man. The regulation is the Hebrew word of mishpah, which is the law that governs man's relationship with man. What are these laws and regulations? They are the fourth commandment, Sabbath observance, and the fifth commandment, honor your parents. How we know? We see that this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, and only the first and the fifth commandment are given a special separate explanation as God has commanded. Okay, let's look at the Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the seventh day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God command you. And verse 16, same to chapter 5, I'd like to read, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. As the Lord your God has commanded you. This is because God had already given these two commandments at the Mara before they gave the Ten Commandments, because in the Bible, he never gave the Ten Commandments in any other place besides Mara until he gave them in the wilderness of Sinai. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, the Israelites were not only unable to keep Sabbath, they had no concept of Sabbath. Moreover, because they lived in Egypt, which was not the God's calendar system of 7 days, the restoration of the seventh day to worship God was the first priority for them. God wanted to teach them that Sabbath observance was the way to life. And he put them then to the test. He waited until February 1st, the seventh day of their encampment at the Mara, to test their Sabbath observance. And on February 2nd, the day after Sabbath, they left Mara. There, they arrived in the wilderness of the Sinai on February 15th. All the food that they had brought with them from Egypt had run out, and everyone was very hungry. They immediately returned to their former state of being without God. They began to grumble, which brought destructions. According to the Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, and the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the post of meat, when we ate the bread to full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. God wanted to teach them that man does not live by what he eats, but by what he hears in order to keep the Sabbath. Amen. Let's look at the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by in everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. The purpose of the manna was to teach them that the word of God is more important than bread, and that when we live by the word, the problem of eating is solved. Amen. But more fundamentally, it was to test them to see if they were following God's law, Torah, and to train them to observe the Sabbath. Let's look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 to 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And it will come about a sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. God provided heavenly food, manna, and there were rules for eating and living. According to the Exodus chapter 16, verse 19 to 20, Moses says to them, Let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to the Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and become foul, and Moses was angry with them. God instructed them to gather a daily portion of manna, not to leave any of the next morning. However, when they didn't obey and left some overnight, they think about some prepare. We don't know. We are not sure if tomorrow this manna is coming or not. It became infested with worms and had a foul odor. Additionally, manna fell every morning and it melted away with the rising sun. So on all days except the day before the Sabbath, they could only collect enough for immediate consumptions. Indeed, on the Sabbath, God did not provide the manna. However, on the sixth day, which was the day before the Sabbath, he gave them twice the amount of manna to rest for both that day and the Sabbath. Remarkably, the manna provided on the sixth day remained fresh without the developing worms or foul odor even after the passing of a day. Let's look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 25 to 29. And Moses said, Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, How long do you refuse to keep my commandment and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gave you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh days. But there were some of rebelled against the word of God and went out to gather manna on the Sabbath. They were not able to gather manna, and they were told not to go out of their camps of the Sabbath. Nevertheless, there was one who went out on Sabbath to chop wood, and he went outside the camp and was stoned to death. You can see the Numbers 15. Verse 32 to 36. God used manna to train the Israelites to keep the Sabbath for 40 years. A month after Exodus, they arrived the wilderness of the February 15th, and the manna began to fall on the February 16th. On the sixth day, February 21st, God allowed them to harvest twice as much as they would a normal day. On the seventh day, that is February 22nd, he did not rain manna. In this way, he brought the Sabbath back to the Israelites who had forgotten it based on the seventh day. In this way, God has been reckoning time with a recurring seventh-day cycle of days since his creation, which will continue until the end of time. Dear Saint, The reason God has trained mankind in the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath from the beginning of time to the end of time is to give us true rest that will be ultimately lead to our participation in the glory of heavens. Amen. In the Hebrew chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, there remain therefore Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rest from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Dear Saint, if we do not observe the Sabbath, not only can we not know God, but we also cannot attain holiness or receive blessings. Shouldn't the presence of God bring about holiness and blessing? In the history of Israel, there were periods when the Sabbath was not observed. In Matthew chapter 1, if you look at the genealogy, it spans 430 years of bondage in Egypt. You can see between the ram and Abinadab. And 300 years during the time of the judges, that is between Salmon and Boaz. The genealogy is between these periods is omitted. This omission served to illustrate that because the people forgot the God's covenant, that meaning is they forgot the what? Sabbath. And to continue to test whether they follow God's statutes and laws, they become cast aside in the eyes of God, unable to enter God's rest. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible warning to us, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So, may the rest of our lives be a history to each and every one of us, not on my calendar, but God's calendar, of keeping the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, to the end, learning with God's Redeemer without ceasing, and finally entering into eternal rest. Amen. Next time I will continue to talk. Next week I will continue to talk about the redemptive work hidden in the number 7. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for enlightening us to God's redemptive calendar through the year, month, day, hour, and the 7 mentions in the Bible. For all the years we have lived, we never realized why there are 7 days of the week. But we thank you for blessing us today to ponder once again the meaning of this Sabbath, this Lord's Day, then when God bid us, sacrifice us, and blessing us. We thank you that we have received great grace from the fathers today to participate in the Lord's service, the Lord's Day. May we rejoice in the joy and the pleasure that you have given us, and may we worship you and honor your name with all our heart, soul, and mind before you. Now that you have given us the eternal service, Sunday, Lord's Day, which is God's calendar, let us cherish it until we go to the kingdom of heaven and enter into your eternal rest and become one with you. In all things we ask and give thanks when we desire in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to give some announcement. The first one, we pray that now in God's calendar, all of us may come to know God in our lives, fulfill the mission given to us on this earth, and without exception, enter into eternal rest. Amen. The second, please pray for the final approval of the church to come soon. The architect continues to communicate with the town and is preparing the necessary document. Please pray for the conclusion to this process. Amen. Okay, we'll close the service with a benediction. Now may the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, the boundless love of our Father God, and the inspiring touch of the Holy Spirit be with us all, from humble saints who have come to realize the significance of the number 7 in today's eternal plan of God's redemption, and lead us into eternal rest. May this blessing extend over our head, our church, our home, our workplace, and all business that have been entrusted to us from now and throughout eternity. Amen. Hallelujah.